Good morning, it's good to be with you. We're continuing the series in John's Gospel. This morning it's chapter 11. It speaks of the death and the raising to life of Lazarus. I'm going to read the passage. The story is obviously an important one because John gives a whole chapter, as it were, to it, the detail of what happened. So I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness is not in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of his disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had also come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubles. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with straps of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. When I came to the end of the appointment I had at Slough Baptist Church, there seemed to be nothing to go to next. We made a number of approaches, we heard of situations, but nothing happened, and we reached the end of our time there, and I left without having a job to go to. So I decided I didn't want to sit around all day doing nothing. So I went down into Slough and went to people who find employment for you. The one I went to, appropriately I felt afterwards, was called Office Angels. Anyway, they found me a job at Slough Borough Council, and I went there and started scanning documents day in, day out, as they moved all their records from paper copies to be online. After a year, we decided that this was probably not the best future, and perhaps I needed to consider something outside of Baptist ministry, and began to think what that might be. In the midst of that, we saw an advert for the job of a chaplain at Wexham Park Hospital. Great, I thought, so I filled in the forms and so on, but realised that the date of the interview was when we were going to be aboard on holiday. Anyway, I sent the forms in with a covering letter explaining. We heard nothing. We went off on holiday, came back, nothing. So I thought, well, that's it. I couldn't attend the interview, so I wouldn't get the job. But then one day, Eunice actually received a phone call from the lead chaplain. And he said, we weren't able to interview on that date. One of the panel wasn't able to come. We're interviewing in about 10 days' time. Do you think David would still be interested? Understatement. Of course David was interested. And so I and one other person was interviewed. They told me afterwards that very early on, they knew that the other person wasn't the right person for the job. And so I gained that appointment at Wexham Park Hospital and for 7 years served there as a chaplain. My timing was not God's timing. I wanted the job ready when I left Slough Baptist to go into. I wanted to, well, I didn't quite know, but I wanted. But God's timing was different. Through this passage that I just read, there is a conflict between people's timing and God's timing. The disciples can't understand why Jesus, as it were, one moment has come away from Jerusalem because of the opposition, is now talking about going back. They can't understand when he gets the news about Lazarus, if he is going back, why he waits 4 days before he goes. Both Martha and Mary say to him, if you had been here, things would have been different. The great desire sometimes, isn't there, for things to have been different. If I'd made a different choice then, if I could go back and relive that, what might have happened? There have been a number of famous films that have looked at that. Films about going back to the future and seeing what changes there could be. Films about waking each day to the same day, but doing slightly different things and becoming a different person. A film about sliding doors, where catching or just missing a tube train could change the whole life. Perhaps we wonder sometimes about the past. Were there times when we could have made different decisions? What would that have meant? And perhaps we look back sometimes at times when we wonder why our timing wasn't God's, why he didn't do things differently. But Jesus here is in control, in contact with the Father, and at each point makes the right decision at the right time. Deeply moved in spirit and troubled, he comes to show love and great sympathy. And in the shortest and one of the most well-known verses from the Bible, Jesus wept. The humanity of Jesus coming out as he sees the sorrow, the heartbreak of Mary and Martha, as he sees the crowd wondering, perplexed, and then his own heart a sadness. He knows the outcome, but he knows in the process there is great sadness for the one who was, and then was, his friend. And so Jesus comes, meeting Martha, meeting Mary. They each respond to him in very different ways. Martha outward, running to meet Jesus on his way there. Mary staying at home. Many of you will know that over the last few years, Eunice and I have enabled a bereavement journey course to be held here. And one thing we've seen through that course is the very different ways in which people respond to bereavement. There's not a right way and a wrong way. There is a right way for each person individually. And Mary and Martha dealt with what was happening here in very different ways. And Jesus enters into their sorrow and shares it with them. And eventually comes to the tomb, to the grave. If we can move them on a bit, thank you. Take away the stone. We're told that the tomb was a cave with a big stone above it, across it. It's almost Jesus had come against a brick wall, a brick stone, a barrier. But Jesus is confident in what he can do as God with the direction and leadership of God the Father. Martha is aware of the human side of it. Lord, there's a bad odour. He's been dead for 4 days. Why do you want to open the tomb? And Jesus gently and yet firmly says to her, believe and you will see the glory of God. And he adds that Jesus says God's glory is always there, but it sometimes is not seen. It sometimes appears and sometimes not. We've had a fairly constant sunshine, haven't we, recently? But even in that, sometimes the cloud has come and the sun is not seen. But it doesn't mean the sun isn't there. And God's glory is sometimes very evidently seen, and perhaps sometimes in our lives is not seen. We cannot see it. The cloud has come, but the glory of the God is still there. And we, like Martha and Mary, need to believe that so that we see it and we follow it. And so they take away the stone. I can always sense that the silence, the crowd, Mary, Martha, what's Jesus going to do now? We've done what he's asked. We've taken the stone away. What next? Jesus looks up and prays. Praise to the Father, and that deep relationship between the Father and the Son, and cries out, Lazarus, come out. This is a point of action. This is a point of no return. Up to this point, Jesus could have said, it's very sad, but Lazarus will rise at the last day. I've come here to share in your sorrow, and to bring sympathy. But at this point, Jesus nails his colours to the mast and says, Lazarus, come out. And I don't know how immediate it was, but I'm sure there was a sort of intake of breath from the crowd. What's going to happen? Can something possibly good come out of this? And then there's a slight noise, a rustling, and Lazarus comes out, still wrapped in the grave clothes, not able to walk easily. And Jesus says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. The barrier of the stone has been removed. Now the barrier of the clothes needs to be, so that Lazarus has full ability to move, to stand, to walk, to run. And the grave clothes are taken off, and he is fully alive, fully back from beyond. Take away the stone, take off the grave clothes. I wonder what barriers we may have to seeing the glory of God, what barriers we may have to believing. One person came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that seems to me a powerful place where many of us are, certainly where I am. Yes, we have belief. Ultimately, we know who Jesus is and we serve him. We believe him to be the Son of God. But there are other aspects of our faith, of our living, where we find it hard to believe and unbelief comes in. What is the gravestone? What are the grave clothes that we may have this morning? That we need to hear the command of Jesus, take away the stone, take off the grave clothes, remove the barriers. And through this whole story, Jesus is saying to Martha and Mary, to the crowd, take away your doubts. It ends with the recognition that through this miracle, many believe in Jesus, but there are others who do not. And of all that Jesus says and all that is recorded in this chapter, perhaps the key phrase is the great statement that Jesus makes, I am the resurrection and the life. Not just a statement, but in love and care and concern to Martha, to Mary, to us today, He says, do you believe this? A challenge to believe and live, to believe now. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Speaking, I believe, about his coming resurrection, that he knew that through death he would come back to life. But speaking also of the life that he will give through that. His resurrection is not just a statement of history. It's a reality that challenges our response to it. He is the resurrection, but he is also the life. We can accept the resurrection perhaps as a historical fact, but do we accept the life that he offers through that? Present help and future hope, a promise to which we need to respond. And in their distress, Jesus came to the disciples, to Martha, to Mary, to the crowd, to show his love. In their despondency and despair, their disbelief, he offered them his comfort. Many have to wait. God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. We can't see things always from God's viewpoint. Many are afraid. But Jesus promises, being the resurrection and the life, that light overcomes darkness. Love overcomes fear. And many need faith to be strengthened, sometimes through tragedy, through looking again at the sign miracles of the gospel. People's, our extremity is God's opportunity in all life's crises. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Do you believe this? Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your love and compassion so fully demonstrated in this story. And thank you that you still have that same love and compassion. In those things that we struggle with, come close. Where we weep, help us to know that you weep with us. In those barriers that we have to faith and belief, take away the stone, take off the grave clothes. And may we hear you say to each one of us, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Because you live, I can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because you live, we know who holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because you live. Amen.